I invite you to open John chapter 6. John chapter 6, provision, prophecy, and partnership. Three P's. Easy to remember. Provision, prophecy, and partnership. John chapter 6. This is a famous story, church. Five loaves of bread and? Okay, so everybody knows. If you're good with math, 5 and 2, you're ready for the sermon. Provision, prophecy, and partnership. John chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 5 for the sake of time. Everybody's ready? Verse 5 says this. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Verse 14 and verse 15. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the hills by himself. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord, here is your word, and I ask that you light myself, Lord, let you light the congregation so that we have understanding, Lord. May I speak your word. May we hear your word. And may we heed your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if we get the first verse and the final verses we just read, we have a good foundation. We have a good frame for this famous story. And the first slide there is going to show you why. There is two ways you can see this text, the wrong way and the right way. What is the wrong way, church? Every time you talk about bread, every time you talk about provision, you think about the supply. And you forget the supplier. You major your need. I'm hungry. And understand that hungry is not bread. That hungry is something else. You name it. And Jesus can give me bread. And that's the focus. That's the wrong way to see this text. We want to focus on the supplier. Provision, prophecy, and partnership. We really want to pay attention to the prophecy aspect of this text, which is Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is a prophecy. Everybody knew this prophecy. Everybody was waiting. Who is the Christ? Who is the Lord? He will fulfill this prophecy. And what is the prophecy? Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 15 says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me." This is Moses, okay? "From among you, from your fellow Israelites, you must listen to him." Don't listen to me, Moses. Listen to him. A prophet like me. Okay, let us do this test. Are you ready? 9/11. What came to your mind? 2001. Everybody came to their mind. 2001, the Twin Towers, the crashing, 9/11. As soon, church, as you read this story, multiplication of breads, your mind needs to go to that. Because Moses gave the manna to the people, Jesus gives bread to these people. Moses gave the law to the people of Israel. Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament. As soon as you read the multiplication of the bread, your mind knows Jesus is the prophet we have been waiting for. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior. And that's what this crowd got it wrong. Because if you pay attention to verse 14 and verse 15, they missed the point. They get the miracle, and now they are trying to, by force, make Jesus a king. But making Jesus a king by force doesn't mean that he would be the spiritual king. That doesn't mean that he would be the Savior. That doesn't mean that he would go to the cross. It means something completely different. And Jesus said, "You guys are misunderstanding who I am. You guys are misunderstanding the miracle. You guys are emphasizing your need, your stomach. I provided you with bread. Now you want me to provide it to you as a politician. That's not the point of the miracle. Focus on me. Change your perspective. I want to provide to you salvation, eternal salvation." That's where this text is leading you. And so, we are ready to start. But before we start, I have a question to you. Because if you pay attention to verse 5, Jesus began everything with a question. Where are we going to find food for these people? He knows the answer, the disciples doesn't know the answer. I have a question for you. You know the answer. You know. Question, what's the difference between giving 5 loaves of bread or 100 loaves of bread to the hands of Jesus? There is 5,000 men to be fed, plus women and children. We are talking about 10,000 or 20,000 people. Is there any difference if you give 5 loaves of bread in the hands of Jesus, or if you give 100 loaves of bread to Jesus? Are you ready to tell me the answer? The man who knows everything said, no difference. No difference. And I believe we all agree with this. You're the man. Let us jump into the text. We're gonna come back to that question at the end. Church, first verse 7 and verse 9 of this text tells you about your incapable hands, my incapable hands, the disciples' incapable hands. We are coming from a train of thought. Jesus is sending his disciples to work. And again, he's about to put his disciples to work. And work hard. 12 men need to feed 20,000 of people. It's a lot of work. And what do you do when all you have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? What do you do when the harvest is plentiful but the laborers are fewer? What do you do? When you understand you have incapable hands. There is the verses. Philip said it would take more than half a year's wages to give just a bite. just a cookie to these people. Andrew says, we have something, but this is not good for just one person. We have incapable hands. And the world teaches you something that Jesus teaches you differently. What does the world teaches you, church? Positive confession. Everything's going wrong. Be positive. You have back pain. Be positive. It's just mind. It's cold outside. Cold is just psychologically. It's not that cold. Those things are lie. Positive confession, positive mindset doesn't change the reality. There is an issue, right? Jesus teaches you the opposite of what the world teaches you. Confess your bankruptcy. Confess what you have, it's not enough. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize they need a Savior. Blessed are those who confess their spiritual bankruptcy, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Once the disciples confess their bankruptcy, what we have, it's not enough. The harvest is plentiful and the labors are fewer. We don't know how we're going to feed these people. That's the first step of the sermon. And that cuts both ways, church. This is talking about salvation. How are you saved? When you confess your sins and you ask for a Savior. How do you do ministry? When you understand you're not enough, when you understand you're not that gifted, you understand you're not that resourceful, that's when you confess, Jesus, I need you. I have incapable hands. That's the very first step of this story. And the great news, when you do this, you have awesome results. Because the second point of this sermon is his capable hands. The disciples don't know what to do. The disciples know they can't feed the multitudes. But what does Jesus do? Verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Bring me the bread. Organize everything. You guys have incapable hands. Good news, I don't. I have capable hands. I am resourceful. And I have an illustration here for you guys. Basketball or soccer? Soccer, okay. World Cup 2026. My back issues are fixed. I became a permanent resident and I'm a citizen. Now I play Team Canada, not Brazil. Final match. Penalty kick. I am there. If I shoot and score the very first title of Canada's history, who you want to get that shot? Gustavo or Jesus? I have incapable foot. Jesus has capable feet. If he shoots that shot, it's goal. You win. Give the trophy ahead of time. If I shoot that shot, we're going to cry. We're going to lose. We will lose. He has capable hands. It makes the whole difference, church. It's the same ball, it's the same scenario. Whoever it's in that makes the whole difference. And the Jesus takes the lead. Give to me the little resource. Give to me the challenge. I will fix it. It's not going to be you guys. It's going to be me. And that's the answer for that tough question. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are fewer. Jesus says, Ask for the Lord of the harvest to send workers, and he will. I am resourceful. I send the laborers. I will build my church, the Lord said. And he is in the job of building his church. He is in the job to feeding the thousands. He is in the job of providing spiritual salvation for people. He is resourceful. And what it's beautiful about that, church, because that leads you to the beautiful partnership, which is the third point of this sermon, provision. Jesus is the provision. Prophecy. Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Partnership. His miraculous hands and our servant hands work together. And you see this from verse 10 all the way to verse 12. Let me read here for you. Jesus then took, verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He provided for everyone, the people sitting, the disciples, for himself. He provided for everyone. And I know it's hard for us to understand that. Why? I'll tell you why. We do not lack food. You go to Walmart and there is a lot of bread. You go to No Frills, a lot of bread. You choose the week you want to eat meat. You want to eat salad. Who has the option of choosing? We don't need to eat just rice and beans. Thanks to God, we are in a very resourceful and blessed country. So this text is a little bit hard for us to see that picture. But Charles Spurgeon, he gives us an illustration here that really helps us, church. He tells that this setting, it's like a birthday party or a celebration. What is a birthday party, a celebration? It is, there is a host, there is a place, there is resource, cake, food, Coca-Cola. The person who is hosting the party, it's not the person serving. The person hosting the party, it's in their spot. The party, it's my party. It's my celebration. I'm paying. Who is serving? The servants. That's what's happening here. Jesus is the one hosting the miracles. The disciples are the ones sharing the miracles, serving the miracles. That's the idea here. And how does that fulfill the prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 18? It's simple. It is the manna. You all know for 40 years the people of Israel ate bread. You know this beautiful snow? Can you imagine when you walk outside and it's not snow, it is bread? That was the way people ate. Every morning there was the dew and it was food. Jesus doing this miracle automatically reminds them of that and automatically shows everybody, this is the one we have been waiting for. And there is a second aspect. We usually oversight the second aspect of this miracle that links Jesus and Moses hand in hand. Here it is. I believe you all know the pastor is not too organized. Can you say amen if you know the pastor is not organized? The pastor is everywhere. Ah, yes, yes, yes. So, John doesn't tell you that, church, but Mark, Luke, and Matthew tells you that Jesus, when he was grouping people, he grouped people 50s, 50s. Make groups of 50s. And then you guys serve those groups. And at first sight, what do you think? That's just a matter of organization.
Well, Jesus is way better than the pastor, therefore Jesus is an organized person. That's the first thing you think, which is true, but that's not what the text is trying to point to. What is the text trying to point to? The text is trying to point to Moses. Church, remember when Moses took the people of Israel out of Egypt. Everything was wonderful. The parting of the Red Sea, the manna, the fire in the evening, the cloud during the day, the tabernacle, everything was good. Then Moses' father-in-law came to the picture. Do you remember his name? Moses' father-in-law, it starts with J. Jethro, that's the man. What was his advice to Moses? Moses, you're doing the job alone. Moses, from 6 a.m. until 12, not noon, 12 a.m., you are solving problems. That's not good. You're going to wear yourself out. The people are going to wear themselves out. And you guys are going nowhere. Moses, do this. Divide the people. Thousands, hundreds, fifties. How many did Jesus divide the people? Fifties. Tens. And put leaders among those groups. Share the load of the work. As soon as Jesus does that, he could make a line, food bank. Who wants food? Come, one by one. That's not the way he did the miracle. He did as Jethro instructed Moses. Why? He is the God of Moses. Why? He is the one who gave the advice for Moses 2,000 years before. Why? He's telling everyone, I am the fulfillment of the prophecy. As soon as you read this miracle, you have the answer. Jesus is the Christ. That's what's happening here. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It amazes me how the Bible, it's so perfect. If you try to take one inch out of it, you can't. Everything is so tight, connect perfectly together. It's beautiful. And with that beauty in mind comes the very good, very nice aspect of this sermon, rewards. Which also rings the bell of our last sermons, of our last series. Yes, the harvest is plentiful, and yes, it is a lot of work, and yes, we need more labors, we need more resources, but trust me, church, there is rewards. There is rewards for the ones who preach the gospel, there is rewards for those who receive the gospel. There is rewards for the people who eat the food Jesus provides. There is rewards for the people who serve this miracle. All of them, both the multitudes and the disciples, were supplied. And I have here, when they had all had enough, it wasn't just a bite. Remember in verse 7, Philip says, if we sell everything we have and we try to feed these people, it's going to be just a bite. It's going to be just a salad. No, that wasn't what Jesus provided to them. Jesus provided the salad, the main course, the dessert, the coffee after. Everybody was filled. They had enough. They could go on 3 days more without food. They are very well supplied. Jesus gives rewards. There is reward in the resourceful one, for those who serve, for those who are served.
And before we jump to the conclusion, I do want, this is Jesus' words. These are not my words. Please read with me verse 12. It's just a little side note we need to make here, church. We are in a resourceful country. Say amen. Look what Jesus says to us. Let nothing be wasted. Okay? Let nothing be wasted. So with that side note, let us conclude this sermon with the key takeaways we have in this story, church. The first one, it was what I told you this sermon is all about. This sermon is all about Jesus. As always, it's always about Jesus. Salvation. Jesus is the bread of life. If people think about their stomach, they misunderstand this sermon. They misunderstand this story. They emphasize their needs and they use Jesus to fulfill their needs. That's not the way disciples of Christ approach the Bible. The disciples of Christ, they don't focus on their stomach. They focus on Jesus, the supplier. Jesus is the bread of life. Second takeaway we have, it is about ministry, church. The disciples share the bread of life. Leo, you are the one with the answer, and you are always right. Always right. What is the difference if you have 5 loaves and 2 fish, or if you have 100 loaves and 100 fish, when the need is so much? What is the difference? Zero. Zero. Okay? The disciples share the bread. Church, every church you go, you will have need. Don't say amen, but it's almost a spot for amen. Every church you go. Some churches have money, but don't have people, young people. Some churches have young people, and because they have young people and the students, let me tell you a secret. The students are broke. They don't have money. Always and always there will be a need. Why? So that you and I, we learn. Ministry is not built on my strength. Ministry is built on the one who gives bread, on the bread of life, on the one who multiplies things. And that's a very good spot for you to say amen. He will build his church. You can't escape that. He will do it. What do we need to do? We need to partner with him, which is basically the heart of this sermon. What are the moral aspects of this sermon? It is grace and empathy. Church, there is something Jesus did here that really hits me in my heart. And it is in verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves and complained. Is that what the text is saying? It is not enough. Is that what the text is saying? You don't know my reality, Pastor. If you pay attention to the text, it describes the bread. It describes the fish. It is not a fish. It is a little fish. It is not a bread, it is this kind of bread, which is not wheat. It's something else. It wasn't the best supply. With so little, not the best quality, I, Gustavo, you know what I would do? Instead of saying thank you, this is not enough, Jesus. I need for 2,000 people and I have only 5 breads. That's automatically what I would do. Jesus has a different kind of heart. What precedes the miracle, A heart that is thankful with the little. A heart with it, which is thankful with what everybody else is complaining about it. Or wasting. He gives thanks. With empathy. And what is empathy, church? You see what it's empathy when you look to Jesus and the disciples. As soon as the disciples saw the multitude, and it was almost 11:30, it was time to finish. What does the disciples do? Finish, Jesus. We're going to go home. What does Jesus do? 11:30. People are hungry. Let them sit. We're going to work a little bit of overtime. We're going to give them bread. We're going to feed them. The disciples look to the need. You guys have a need. You guys solve the problem of your need. We do we. You do you. Jesus, with the heart full of grace, full of service, full of empathy, he saw the need. And what does he do? We're going to serve. We're going to multiply. We're going to do the overtime. We will get the job done. And with that, which is the engine of this miracle, I have a homework for you, church. Last week, I finished with a poem. This week, I finished with a homework. I love you so much. You know, I always like to finish nice. Homework for you. Don't promise you're going to do it, the homework, because I don't want you to break your promise, maybe. Nevertheless, you will be very blessed if you do this homework. Trust me. This homework will bless your life so much. For those who want, go to YouTube. And maybe you guys in the building can do, you know, in a group and sit together. And you need to type this, okay? 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Dallas Jenkins, 2024. Who is Dallas Jenkins? He is the director and founder of The Chosen. Do you know the show The Chosen? It's his 30-minute speech telling you the story of The Chosen. And the story of The Chosen, it's the story of this miracle. It was 4 in the morning. All his production was broke. Nobody was watching his videos. He had a big heart. I want to share Jesus. People who would never come to church, I want Jesus to go to them. Beautiful heart. Failure after failure. Those nights, the minister cannot even sleep. And it was at 4 a.m., there is a message that pops up in his Facebook. Short, sweet, sharp. Dallas, your job is not to feed the 20,000 people. Your job is to provide the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Jesus will do the rest. Short and sweet. And so if you go to the YouTube, you're going to see the story and you're going to be encouraged with the story. And this miracle, you will never forget. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we know this miracle so much. And every time we speak about it, you fill our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as the snow falls outside, as the manna fell in the Old Testament, I pray that the bread of life, Jesus Christ, fill our hearts with grace, with empathy, with faith, with hope, and fill our incapable hands with his capable hands. so that we see miracles in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our nation. Amen.